Say What Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios.
Speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468.
Hey, it's Janessa.
And I'm Katie.
And this is
Say What?
Hey guys, welcome back. It's Janessa and my co-host. What's your name again? Is it Katie?
I mean, I said it like five times on our last one when I was trying to introduce myself. It was definitely when all the bubbly just hit me and then my brain froze. So Janessa went into this whole thing about who she was and where she comes from. She's married. She's got these beautiful children and dogs. And I'm like, so... My name's Katie. It's Mary Catherine.
And it's also Katie.
So my name is Katie. So if anybody forgets what my name is, that I don't know how that's possible. Way too many times.
Then they just weren't listening.
Oh my God. So embarrassing when you hear yourself back. But, you know, it's the first time we're doing this. Just got to work out the kinks.
Right.
I guess maybe not drink so much before.
Well, or, yeah. No. No.
No,
this is not.
I mean,
happen.
We did drink before this too.
Yeah, I mean, but that's okay. We're just relaxing, and we're moms, and we're adults, and
we're allowed to have a little something, something.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the week, and
right,
it's been a rough week.
I mean, you work hard, so do I.
You work hard.
Do you want to elaborate on maybe what you do a little bit more about who Katie is?
I mean, yes, I totally do that. So. I don't want to say, I was about to say, so my name is Katie. What the hell?
Well, I mean,
it's brutal.
Just in case people in the back don't hear, it's Katie.
It's Katie. Okay. So we're totally over that. So I'm an interior designer, and I have been married for 14 years this year. Together for 16. My husband's name is Eric. And we call him the bucket man. So he sells buckets for a living, but they're like big buckets.
Like industrial size buckets?
Yeah, like big buckets, right? For big construction companies. So
we like big things.
That's what she said. So actually, a little side story about that. So back when we had our old house, we had a neighbor that we were next to for like 7 years. And we had just got a boat. And it was a big deal for us, right? Like we had saved. We did all the things to get this sucker. And we're out cleaning it. And the neighbor comes by. And again, lived by him for like 7 years. And he goes, so you sell buckets. And Eric's like, yeah. He goes, God, you must sell a lot of buckets. And Eric's like, well, I mean, I do a decent amount. He goes, so they're like Home Depot buckets? And we're like, oh my God, no, 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 no. Like the big ones, like the diggers, all the things.
And
I mean, Eric travels. So, well, he did.
Yeah, he traveled. I mean, well, he did before so. COVID.
Yeah.
He had to travel for like half the month every month.
I know. I remember being on an Alaska flight and seeing him in a magazine. I'm like, that's my neighbor.
Yeah. Did you see that?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like on page two in Alaska Airlines. And so that was really funny. We'd have friends that would steal the magazines, right? They'd be like, I know him. Yeah. He's like, dude, they pay good money to have that as advertising, right? Yeah. Like keep it in the pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what he does. He loves what he does and he's good at what he does. They're definitely not like plastic Home Depot buckets.
No.
God, you'd have to sell a shitload of those to make a living, right?
Yeah.
But to think about that, there is somebody out there that that's their job probably.
They're like, selling Home Depot buckets?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds horrible.
Well, they're everywhere. Somebody does it, right?
Yeah.
So we call him the Bucket Man. I have two beautiful children.
Yeah.
Brody's going to be 17.
That's so crazy.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I don't feel old enough to have a 17-year-old.
Well, you're not.
Well, ish. I mean, because he is turning 17.
I know, but you're not old.
I know. I had him at 19. And then that's crazy to think about that he could have... I don't want to go there, but really, I mean, if he were to walk down the same path and like be a parent in 2 years, did I just 17, 18, 19?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I've been drinking. Oh my God. 17
plus two is 19.
Yeah.
Katie.
Oh my God. That's really creepy.
Yeah.
And it's weird to think about. And I feel bad that that's what my parents, right? Like.
Yeah,
that's not something that you wish for your kids. So really my whole life goal for both of my children is that they don't make babies at 19. They can go out and live their life, figure out what the hell they want to do. Go be selfish. Go do your thing. And then once you've figured yourself out and your passions and figured out a way to make money out of it, then find somebody and have a baby. Right.
Well, those years are just so hard, right? I mean, like, I remember being a teenager and you just think you know everything and all the things that you do, what your parents understand or what they tell you doesn't make any sense to you because they just don't understand.
You think you know everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a 17-year-old, almost 18, 18 in July.
She's so pretty.
I know. She's going to go to college.
My God.
But it's just... she's so much easier though than my 10-year-old daughter. She's going to be a little bit of a challenge. So she's just very dramatic and, you know, everybody's coming in. They all come into their own skin at different times, but definitely the teen years are,
they're hard.
Yeah.
I think each stage is hard, right? Like when they're infants, you're just in survival mode. You have no sleep whatsoever. Your boobs hurt. Everything hurts. Right. All your lady parts are shot, right? You're just like, never doing this again. And then,
and then you
somehow
do it again.
You end up doing it again. I think because they're
again.
So cute, right? And you're like, oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that bad. And then all of a sudden you're in the throes of it and you're like, how the hell did you convince me to do this again?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I could only do two.
I wanted four.
Oh my gosh. You are crazy. But here it is not the norm to just have two kids.
Yeah.
Moving here was a big like awakening that everybody has a litter of kids around here, right?
Yeah.
Like the normal amount for the Boise area is like 4 to 5 kids.
100%. That would be the average.
I mean, we have a huge Mormon population, but I grew up Catholic. So it's like your main number was probably about 3 and you're good.
Yeah.
But Mormons, we just had somebody at our house. They had 7 kids. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
How do you live? First of all, so expensive.
Yeah.
So expensive. Like,
but the church pays for, there's some kind of financing or money
to have a kid.
There's some kind of money that comes from the church.
If you have a kid, you get paid to have a kid. Stop.
I don't,
no way.
I don't know the logistics of it. So don't quote me on that. But
so if you're in need of money,
yeah,
sign up to be Mormon and they will pay you. I mean, do you have to become Mormon before you have the baby?
I'm pretty sure after that.
That's the first time that I've heard that.
It's not on kids per se, but there is some kind of financial
gain.
I guess I wouldn't even say that. I don't know, like some kind of compensation or some back and forth between families and the church.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a new one.
We should do some research on, I mean, I grew up with a ton of Mormons, so.
Yeah. I feel like the Mormons here, should we go on the tangent? I feel like the Mormons here are different than Mormons from in Washington that I knew. Totally different here.
Yeah. Like in what sense?
So we would hang out with, you know, our Mormon friends that their kids were, Janessa's taking a drink in the background. We don't want people to hear us swallow.
That's what she said.
So like we would hang out with our kids' friends that were Mormon and their parents, and it was no big deal. Like we would have football get togethers at our Mormon friend's house, and they would have alcohol at the house. They would not be partaking, but it would be there. It would be served. It's not a big deal. Right. Yeah. Here I've noticed it's just a totally, it's like a culture shock, right? So I just swallowed and I feel like you could hear it. It's so awkward. So I feel like here, once they find out that you're not, right, their kids can hang out with your kids, but they're not going to be like having barbecues with you or hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes me sad, right? Because I don't know. I feel like you miss out on relationships that you could have with people. And just because you drink or because you have different religious backgrounds, I don't feel like that should separate you.
Yeah.
Right. So there's definitely a difference. Like I even heard somebody in our neighborhood like a year ago that we both know, their daughter was the only one that wasn't invited to a birthday out of like a dance group or something like that. And because they were the only non-Mormon family.
Yeah.
And how messed up is that for that poor little kid that all of your friends that you get to hang out with normally, you don't get to do that, you know, back at their house? Or I don't know. That just seems kind of messed up to me.
Well, you know, I feel the same way. So in Southern California, we had a really big, here goes Katie. She's taking a swig. Get it, girl. We had a big Mormon population in our town, Laverne, and there was even like a Mormon church. And I was wild as a kid. So, I mean, I was doing drugs at like 13. So that's scary to think about. Yeah. Like hard ones. So, but they were never, I was friends with all the Mormons and not like we would hang out all the time, but I just love people. I think we've talked about them before.
Yeah.
Anyways, they would still invite me to like their church dances. And then
you weren't like shunned.
No.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, probably a kid that not everybody wanted their kids to hang out with, to be honest. Like I think about from a parent's perspective now, but it was never like, oh, we don't want Janessa here, or, you know. And I remember going like them going on mission trips, and they would have like mission before they leave, like little celebrations, and I would get invited to those. And then we grew up, and then they would come back and they would get married, and then they would have like a reception because you can't go to the church. Right. And I would be invited to those. And then one of my Mormon friends that I grew up with, him and his wife just came out here, and we all hung out in Boise. He reached out. He's like, hey, I'd love to see you guys. You know,
I love that.
So it's just a different being here.
It's a culture shock, honestly. Yeah. We had, because I said before, it took us 4 years to pull the trigger to move here.
Yeah.
And somebody that we knew that grew up over here said, and she was a Mormon growing up, oh, by the way, you're not supposed to say Mormon.
What are we supposed to say? LDS?
LDS. It's like a thing now.
Oh, Travis, are you Mormon?
Are you Mormon?
Okay.
Oh, shit. Okay. Okay. But you've heard that too, right? Like,
yeah.
It's almost like they think that saying Mormon is a negative connotation. I don't know.
Like, I don't understand that.
I don't know, but you're still Mormon if you're LDS.
Same shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
I need clarification. We need to get a Mormon on the show.
Should we bring in a Mormon?
Actually, it wouldn't be a Mormon. Maybe like an
LDS person.
Well, an LDS that, look, tomato, tomato. They're fucking Mormon. We'll bring someone on who is maybe left the church to give
Jack
insight.
Mormon.
Yes.
Yes.
How do we find him? If you're Jack Mormon, let us know.
Yeah.
I know several DM people.
And we'll have you come in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have met several that have gone through the whole gamut with me. Cause you know, if you open up to being interested in it, they'll tell you anything.
Oh, yeah.
And I do love that. Right. We are having a whole conversation.
I know we went like way side rail.
Off.
Yeah,
I know. So I had a neighbor who had four kids, who they were Mormon, LDS, whatever you want to call it. Don't get all your panties in a bunch if I'm saying this in a way that you don't like, but whatever.
I don't think they would like this podcast in the first place.
So I am just interested in all religions. So one day I was like, hey, I really want to see the inside of your church, right? Like I grew up Catholic and so I'm fascinated, right? So I'm like, I would love to go. And she was like, absolutely. And then it was like the day before. It was like a Saturday, obviously, because you go to church on Sunday. So she goes, I just want to let you know that if you could wear something that you're not going to show any of your cleavage. I have got huge boobs.
Gigantic.
They're
like bigger than a baby's head, each one of them.
It's G for gargantuan. Oh, they're ridiculous. Okay.
So cover them up.
It's hard to cover these puppies up.
Duck,
but she made
down.
It a point that like you can't see any of that. So I'm like, God, do I even have anything that's going to cover these things? And then she goes,
wear a hoodie.
Yeah, basically. And then make sure that with a dress that you have it to your knees. Mm. And so anyways, I brought my kids and they had friends that were there and it was such an interesting experience. So in a Catholic church, you're there for like an hour, right? You stand up, sit down, kneel down.
Like 300 times.
Yeah. I mean, there's you get a little bit of a workout. And as a kid, you're excited if there's donuts after or if you like.
I hate Catholic weddings for that reason.
It's very traditional. There's things that I love about it. I'm not Catholic anymore. But I did like certain things that were very traditional about it. And I love the inside of the church, right? Because it was very ornate. I loved, you know, the windows.
You're an interior designer. I mean, I'm sure as a child, you're still looking at that kind of stuff.
I just like, to me, that's what a church, right, that I grew up with is just, it's ornate and it's very traditional. So when I went in there, I was shocked. I totally thought there was just going to be so much to look at, right? And it looks like an office building on the inside. It's very like bland walls. And it's like that old 1980s like oak trim. And I'm like, where the hell are the crosses? Right? I'm like, there's no crosses anywhere. When you're Catholic, there's crosses everywhere because that's part of our, you know, our belief system that he died on the cross for our sins. And so there's nothing. It's just bare. And then you're doing hymns for Lord knows how long. And then you feel like you're in a courtroom.
Yeah.
And so you have like the elders or whatever you call them. I don't know. The older people. Yeah.
Or LDS. Yeah. They're elders.
Yes. And they're sitting in there almost like talking about the items of the day. And then they're talking about, you know, the missions coming up. And then this is what killed me is that there was a new baby that was born. Right. And so I'm like, oh, we're going to see
every
baptism.
30 seconds.
Yeah. And so traditionally that I grew up with, you have, you know, the mother and the father, they go up, they do the baptism. You have godparents there. You've got all family. So, but they did more of like a blessing, right? So the mother had to sit her ass down and the men and the elders had to like take the baby and do a blessing. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? Like she just popped out this baby and she can't be there for the blessing. What is that? So I'm not saying that's wrong, but for me, and it's not like I'm a feminist or anything, but I'm like, shit, I don't know how
I
feel about this.
Yeah.
And then it was more hymns. You guys, I thought it was done, right? It was like an hour, hour and a half. And I'm like, okay, I got through it. I experienced it. We're good. I'm going to go get the kids and we're out. And then they're like, oh, no. We're going to split off into men and women. And I'm like, okay. So then you basically have almost like a Bible study for the women and the men and then the kids, and they're separated by boys and girls. So we're in that group and we're going over different stories in the Bible. And then all of a sudden I get pulled out. And I almost felt like I was going to the principal's office. I'm like, what is going on? Oh, and my girlfriend's just like giving me a thumbs up. I'm like, you didn't prepare me for what this is. Right? I mean, what would you think?
I would be like, what the fuck did I do wrong?
I know,
I can't say that.
Yeah, here. I can't say that. So then they take me into this other classroom, and it's for non-Mormons who are seeking, you know, to be a part of the church. And it just so happened to be, this is so funny. They did like a roll call. So you had to say your name. And so the guy says my name, and he says my last name. And he goes, wait a second. Are you related to an Eric with the same last name? And I'm like, yeah, that's my husband. And he goes, oh, I was his football coach in high school. You're going to be my special project. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm done.
Like, here we go. But it was very interesting. You know, you learn about the different wards. And I mean, I am interested in all different religions. Mm-hmm. And why do you think the way that you think, and what makes you drawn to this and whatnot? And there are, I would say, across the board, vast, like 80% is the same.
Yeah.
Right. There's just details that are different.
Right.
But the details to me, I'm like, yeah, you can't, I got to drink. Like Jesus drank wine.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink wine. Right.
And you know, if I'm stressed out, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pour a large glass of wine.
Oh, super large.
And you could judge the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I don't care.
How do you raise 7 children and not drink wine?
Or caffeine?
Oh, dear God, there's no way.
Put me out to pasture. I'm done.
I mean, you are special in my book. Like, I mean, bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
If you can raise 7 children and you don't have a slight drinking problem and you're not even drinking caffeine to get your ass up and going in the morning, I mean, you're special. You're holy, in my opinion. Yeah. You are holier than thou. And that's amazing. And you do. Mm-hmm. You get your seat with the... Is it only 144 people next to Jesus?
I don't even remember.
Or 144,000?
Yeah, I didn't Should never they be knew past the logistics their point of all that. I didn't ever ask like a bunch of questions.
If that's true, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I'm screwed.
I mean, I was screwed a long time ago. So
literally.
I'm here. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I'm not here for a long time, but I'm here for a good time. Whatever the hell that's saying.
I like that. That should be a bumper sticker.
I think it is.
It probably is.
Pretty sure. Yeah. Travis has heard it. I think I maybe said it wrong, but.
No, I'm not here for a long time, but I'm here for a good time.
Yeah.
Yes, girl.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what else are we going to do in this world?
I mean, there's plenty of
us. Did you ever massage any Mormons? I'm wondering.
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Oh, so yeah. That's like, they gave me Mormon Bibles and all the things.
So I know we
were totally going to talk about my whole. Yeah, we did. We said we were going to talk about me as a massage therapist.
Yes, but now I'm really curious. I mean, that's not like, were there women and men that came to you that were
obvious? Yes. Oh my God, the underwear. Should we talk about the underwear?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Did they take it off when you massage?
No, God, no. No, that's holy. So this is what's stifling to me is that they wear their underwear and then they wear... They're holy garments. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never seen what they look like, so the words, but basically like granny panties for men and women. And then they have to wear that. It's their like holy garment or whatever they call it. And then they wear that over their underwear. So I'm like, okay, in Washington, you're just warm. Here in Boise, it gets hotter than hell. I mean.
Yeah. And like California, what are you doing? I never saw them.
It's got to be stifling in there. Yeah. Oh my God. The ball sweat. Your vagina is on fire.
Yeah.
It gets hotter than hell's front porch here. We literally have a season that we call hell's front porch in Boise. So if you're not only wearing one layer of panties, but you're wearing granny panties on top of that, that's a little thicker that, you know, so that God... has a section between your parts and your man's parts, right? Like, I that's mean, hot.
I don't.
Not I guess like hot in a sexy way. That is just hot, like
physically
hot.
God. I guess I don't entirely understand the whole purpose of that.
I think
you just, take them off when you have sex and then you put them back on.
We should ask somebody. I never got that far, but like on the first female Mormon that I massage and like she refused to take off her jeans. And I was like, oh my God, how the hell do what I do this? Fuck? Oh yeah. And then there was like, like man underwear that looked like whitey tidies of a man sticking out. Yeah. And I was like, so
did you want me to massage your hands? You could go to a nail salon for that, right?
Like, so what are we wearing layers? It is hot out. And she's like, oh, is that showing? Oh, those are my, and whatever they call it, like holy garments. I don't know. And I'm like, oh, so tell me about that. And then she explained, like, you need to wear that over your personal items. And okay, like they're issued or something. I don't know. So foreign to me. I'm like, okay, you do you, girl. But I,
you want to massage layer. Like, what are you massaging?
I know. I'm not going for any orifices.
Right. You're not going to get penetrated.
No. There's no penetration whatsoever.
I'm massaging your muscles.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Therapeutic for sure. We're not in the red light district. I'm not going near any holes.
Yeah.
I'm not grabbing things. There were times I accidentally, I didn't grab, I grazed.
Like
I
a little zoop.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about the whole, you want to ask me questions? Yeah. I don't know. How do we talk about this?
So many questions.
God, I have so like, many okay, stories.
The first experience that you ever had.
As a massage therapist. I mean, it was the worst experience that I've ever had, ever. I think in life. It was my worst experience. Really? It was really that bad. Why?
Because you were inexperienced because the patient or the
so client was I weird. Was actually in massage school in Modesto, California. Ugh. Here we go. So there I was.
Well, that paints a beautiful picture. If you don't know where Modesto is, just look it up.
It's the butt crack of the United States. I don't really know how. I think
we call it the armpit of California.
Oh, well, there you go. Sorry. So there I was in the armpit of California. And I was just like, to graduate from the school, you had to get good reviews from these clients that would come in. And I think they paid like $10, right? Of course. But your instructor was outside of your massage room, right? Checking the person in, and then they take the input of them afterwards. So here I am. I'm 18 years old, okay? And I'm a big girl, so I feel like I can say this. But I walked into the room, and this woman had to be like 600 pounds.
How did she get in there? That's my question.
Yeah. I mean, it was like beyond, right? And so, but when I walked in there, before I even saw her, I was hit with a smell, like a wall of this putrid smell. That the best way that I can describe it is like hot garbage.
Mm.
Ass.
Oh, wow. What a great
rancid, like milk.
B.O., like onions, maybe some onions rubbed in there.
Oh my God. It was just the worst smell I've ever heard. I guess you could hear it because it was so bad. No, but it was just truly the worst smell. I mean, I feel like it was just, it permeated through my pores. It was so bad. So I got hit with this curtain of smell and I instantly had a gag reflex. And she's covered with like the blankets and everything. And she like not even a third of her body is actually on the table. So if that gives you a visual, right?
Oh my
and here God. I am. I was tiny. I was this tiny little thing. And I'm like, oh my God. And they don't teach you deep tissue in massage school. First of all, it's something you have to learn that after and continuing ed. So she tells me she wants deep tissue. And then when I take the blanket back, I'm just seeing, you know how you have rolls on your sides? Yeah. And then when you lay down, your rolls tend to kind of go to your side.
Yeah.
Hers were on her back. And that doesn't bother me. I don't care about like the size of your body, blah, 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 blah.
Well, the smell would really
the just... smell was just beyond. But in between her rolls on her back was literally an inch of this white film. It was a yeast infection. Now, I was 18. I had never had a yeast infection. I didn't know what that was. Oh, I was just like, oh my God. And then underneath that was, I know, I'm grossing you out. This is my life.
I
mean,
I'm visualizing this. I feel slightly traumatized.
yeah. Imagine if you were I had no gloves on or anything. And you know that I am a major germaphobe. Okay. Oh, God. Like beyond. Like COVID was made for me because I'm like, I was already worried about cross-contamination already. Like, you know, people gross me out. This probably threw me over the edge, this whole experience. So underneath all that white chunks of yeast, it was, it was the like red rashes everywhere.
Oh my God.
So here I go. I'm like, oh my God. And it's hot as hell in there. There's no like ventilation. And I, for an hour, I'm throwing up in my mouth. Literally, she could hear me. She could totally hear me. And she kept going harder. And I'm like, like it was just awful, right? And I literally got to the point, it was like maybe 10 minutes in, I took my shirt and put it over my head. So now I'm doing it where I can't see what I'm touching, God, Katie. Which is probably a good thing, right? My boobs are out. I'm trying to breathe. I'm like, get every now and then I would pull my shirt down to look at the clock. And I'm like, oh my God, it's only been 60 seconds. Like, I'm not going to make it. And I couldn't breathe. And then finally, after 60 minutes, I blew. I didn't even say like, have a good day.
I got to go take a fucking shower.
I blew out of that room like a bat out of hell. And I ran straight to the bathroom. I stripped down. I sat in the sink and I just started like taking all the soap in the bathroom all over my body. And then after that, I'm still gagging. I then throw up. And then I find the spray alcohol, whatever. And I'm spraying it all. I can smell her on me. Like, I can't get it out of my hair. Oh, it was literally that bad. Like, beyond. If you were at a campfire, right? And it's in your hair, it's in your pores. That was her. Okay.
Was this like a prank that they were playing on you or
no.
something?
No. So I, again, 18 years old, I call my mom back in Washington. I'm like, oh my God, people are disgusting. I am never doing it. I am never touching another person. What the hell is wrong with people? Like, I picked the wrong thing to help people for a living. Like, this is wrong. You don't do that to people. Oh, and there was a poop stain in her butt crack. Like, it was a whole thing. God,
I mean, how do you?
It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. There was cat hair. It was just, oh my God, thinking about it. Like, I feel like I'm regressing. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to me.
This is like trauma therapy. We're just going to talk through this.
So, anyways, that truly was the worst. And I did this for 17 years. Okay. So,
I mean, I would have been like, skate, I'm out of here.
I know. And my mom's like, babe, you can do this. Yeah. That has to be just like,
one in a million.
Exactly. Well, and for your so first, she's like, just try. You went through all this and you can do this. Just see how it goes. I've had just crazy things. I actually put together a list of random ones that I'd want to touch on. What's another one?
What about the murder? Didn't you say there was like a murder one?
Oh God. So when people are naked and they're on your table, they will literally tell you anything. So because I wasn't a fluff and buff massage therapist, it's not like going to the spa and they're just like giving you a nice little rub down. Yeah. Right. And we're feeling good. Or I'm petting you for an hour.
Yeah. No, I'm not paying for that either.
No, I am putting people in pain, but I'm fixing them.
Right.
Right. So I was always doing therapeutic. I'd work for chiropractors, all the things. So one of them, she was telling me about her wedding. She was so excited about her wedding. And then she's like, yeah, my brother's not going to be able to be there, or my sister-in-law and I were just really sad. And I'm like, oh, well, how, why wouldn't they be there? And she's like, well, they killed their baby. And I'm like, quiet.
Silence.
And of course, what's the first thing in your head? You're like, what the fuck happened? Yeah. Right? And so then I waited a second. I'm like, so are you, do you still talk to them? Like, she's like, well, they're incarcerated. So, you know, every now and then we talk to them, but they were on drugs and, you know, there was a whole thing. And so then I'm like sick to my stomach because anything with kids or animals, I cannot shake that off. Right. Yeah, I will take that with me. I will hold on to it for like a month or two. There's still some, I love murder mysteries and there are still some stories that stick with me. Right. Yeah. I can't shake it. Like, oh my God, people are messed up. Right. Yeah. Or like a baby in an oven. You're like, oh my God, I just can't. I can never let that go. I can never. Yeah.
Well, so I listen to a ton of podcasts and Crime Junkies is like one of my favorites. I love them, but anything that has to do with kids, like I have to skip over that. I cannot handle that.
It is anything with innocence. Just, it rocks me. Mm-hmm. I feel at least if you're like a 23-year-old that just is maybe dumb and doesn't understand worldly things and you have the ability to fight something off, like I'm probably going to feel less like upset and carry that with me than a 5-year-old that was, you know, taken advantage of and then something awful happened, or a dog that, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so depressing.
Ugh.
Right? So... Yeah. You just hear things and you can't shake certain things off. But yeah, with a massage therapist, with people telling you everything, you feel like you have a PhD in psychology. The things that people will tell you, I knew about the whole like drug movement through our town with the moms. Oh my God.
Tell me about this. Interesting.
So there was
always probably the ones that you least expect. They have like the perfect house with all the kids.
Oh yeah.
I'm so organized.
They have everything. Like, and then, you know, they're dealing their kids' prescription drugs on the side. So what I had one client who he was getting a divorce, right? So then he was just spilling the beans. He was telling me everything was going on with his wife. And then all of a sudden I hear about this whole like drug deal with all these moms in our town that would get together at a local alehouse, and they would basically like swap prescriptions, or they would get stuff from Canada, right? Or they would like double their prescriptions with their kids, right? So if their kids had, they needed Ritalin, right? These women were using it to lose weight, like all this bullshit, right? And then if cops, like if it was like a hot night and there were cops in the area, they'd go to like a small town nearby and they'd go to another sports bar and then they would do their dealings and stuff there. So he was like,
oh my God.
He was talking to me about whether he should like take her to court.
Crazy.
Yes. Oh my God. The housewives thing. We need to have one in Boise. I've said it three times. We would both get fired.
We are way too transparent, and I just don't know if
I think they like that though.
Oh, they, well, I mean, I guess it would maybe cause some drama, but
yeah, I need to just tell Bravo, and I love Bravo. Give me a glass of wine and a whole cheese board, and I'm watching Bravo
didn't
all night.
We didn't board today either.
No, because we'd be crunching it. You have to have all soft foods.
Yeah,
you'd hear them. Nobody wants to hear that. Ooh, right?
Yeah.
No, we're trying to drink on the side here so nobody hears us. So maybe we should do a housewives of Boise.
Yeah.
Right?
But we can't be housewives because we work. That's why I never understand about that show. I think I've seen one episode in Orange County.
And you have to be like really rich too.
Those ladies at the very beginning were true housewives, and then it turned into something else. I'm like, you have a job though. You're not a housewife.
Maybe
that's
you're just
like
a wife.
Saying, I don't know, I'm a nurse, but I work in the medical field, but I'm not a nurse. So I'm lying. Like it's weird. It doesn't make any sense.
So maybe we should tell them do like Boise Wives. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we work.
Yeah.
We do our thing and we mom hard, mm-hmm. right? We're momming. We're momming like nobody's business.
Yeah.
out here in Boise.
With our teenagers.
Oh my God. Shelby is going to be 13. We have our first gentleman caller.
What?
Yes. So.
Sounds like, hey, first gentleman calling in.
What's his name? It is. And I'd love to say his name because his name gives me so much happiness because it's not like a normal name. It's like a, it's in Cinderella. I'll just say that. And I love that. So we have fun with the name. And
is it Gus?
I love it. Damn it. Yes and no. I'm not going to say yes or no. Okay. So, damn it, Janessa.
I mean, he's just the cutest thing ever.
He is cute. And so, but I am connected to my kids' Instagrams because, you know, I'm that anal retentive mom, no, and I need to see what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brody, for God's generation. Sakes, he had like 6 million people watching his TikTok. Like, it was out of control, right? So anyways, on her Instagram, anytime she gets a message, right, I can see it and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, there'll be messages at midnight and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. She's turning 13 and we've got our boys that are interested. And I mean, it's just a whole new world, right? And she's starting to be a little more distant. And she's the sweetest thing.
The sweetest thing. And she bakes the best cupcakes ever.
She is a big baker. Yeah. Yes, everybody knows her for her cupcakes. Shelby Sweets is what she wants to call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get all of a sudden you're seeing your little girl, right? She's going through puberty and her emotions are very present. And then all of a sudden you can't handle them like you did before. And you're like, oh my God, you are my child. Mm-hmm. Right. I remember my mom said the day that I turned 13, it was like a devil took over. Like, oh, who God. Is this girl, right? This is not my daughter. I was a raging bitch. Am I allowed to say bitch? I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've. Okay. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Travis is saying
dropped
yes.
the F bomb a couple of times. Yeah. So we're past that point, Katie. In case you didn't know, this is Katie. We're there.
Stop it. So I was just awful. I was so mean, right?
Yeah, like I was too.
Just awful.
And I was doing drugs though, so that's a little bit different.
I didn't do that. I mean, I was a teen mom, right? So I was having sex at 15.
Oh yeah. God, well, I was doing that too.
I don't want to say that. And right. That's our whole purpose in life is that our kids aren't going to walk in our shoes.
Yeah.
We hope not that, oh my God, I would lose it. I would lose it if my kids were doing anything remotely compared to what I was doing at certain stages. But it is weird seeing your girl. I mean, you've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. It just, you're like, oh, we're here and this is happening and she's becoming a young woman and you can't stop it, right? And then your husband has to deal with, well, do I bring out the shotgun? Do I make a phone call? Yeah. What do I do? And you're just like, just hold back. The time will come.
I know.
Right? I mean, it's scary. You just want to stop time. They grow up so fast.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, Jalen's such an old, I don't know if I should say, I'm like, we don't care. Yeah.
She's like, going to have stalkers.
Yeah. She's always been an old soul. Even as a child, she was like an adult. She just kind of gets things. I didn't have to explain things to her. She always vibed with like, older people, the things that kids her age were not, they were doing, they it just wasn't funny to her.
Yeah.
Whereas Gianna's very much like in the moment. She's very emotional. And she's just going to be, you know, I think both Aston's going to give me a run for my money because
cool baby.
Yes, cool baby. I have to show you this picture of him on a horse today. He's just so high energy. So, and everything's a backflip and I'm going to do a jump and a backflip.
Yeah. Total boy.
That's the part that's going to give me a heart attack. Gianna though, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't know.
You worry.
Yeah.
There's just the worry is the worst part.
Yeah.
Like just driving. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. How all parents are not raging alcoholics once your kids are behind the wheel is beyond me. Like, I'm proud of myself that I have not drank even remotely the amount that I feel like I probably should every time he's gotten behind the wheel. I think it was Bill Engvall or something that was on one of the blue comedy tours or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, I think there needs to be a lane for just teenagers. It's just totally mattresses and tires, right? Like, you are terrified and they think that they're immortal, right? They get behind that wheel and they're like, I'm fine. I'm going to take this corner at 40. No big deal. And you're like, oh my God, you are my everything. And it just takes an instant, right?
They just don't get that, you know? And then they're, you know, I don't know. You don't realize that you're driving this huge piece of machinery.
Murder vehicle.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even just you, someone else. I mean, and as a teenager, how would you feel if that? I remember in high school, they showed like all those drunk driving videos or whatever. And we had to do like this every 15 minutes thing, which was like super traumatizing, but it brought very much a reality to like drinking and driving. Oh, and I remember seeing this guy killed, he was a teenager and he killed someone else's daughter. And they said, no, we don't want him to go to jail. And what we want him to do is every day he needs to write a check in her name and send it to us. I'm like, that is literally torture. Oh my God. I would just send me to jail.
So hard.
You know, and as a teenager too, it's like, you're not, I'm saying like a lot, you're not as aware.
Definitely not aware.
You think you have, again, you think you have control of all this stuff. You know everything. You've been there. All my friends know it. Short-term
vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to live with that for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know. I'm terrified. It takes one moment that will change their whole world. And then with a boy, oh, my God. Okay. So, couple things.
What?
So ever since the whole like Me Too movement, right? When have a boy, there is just this whole balance, right? When you have a boy and a girl or multiple, right? You as a parent, you are trying to make sure that your daughter has a voice and is heard and is believed, because that's super important. But then there's this other side that I think people don't really think about as much. When you have a boy, they are open to just a total attack. If they have a crazy girl that is way overly emotional and is upset because they got dissed and they're not liked or whatever, they can say whatever they want. And so, unfortunately, because women are so believed now, there is that side that your child, if he upset the wrong female, they can lose their college scholarships. They could go to jail. They could all the things. It's terrifying. So,
and they can lie. I mean, females just lie. And
I mean, we are diabolical, right? I mean, we can be. So the first couple times that like I've had to help coach my son on breaking up with somebody that it wasn't working out with, you know, we make sure that he does it in a way that they still have self-esteem at the end of it. And they know that it wasn't that there was anything wrong with that female. It's just the two of them didn't vibe.
Right.
And, you know, he's really sorry and he doesn't want any hurt feelings and he really does want to continue being friends. You have to be so careful now. I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, and I think that's good for parents to do that and have that open conversation with their sons. But at the same time, you feel like there's a target in your son. If he just upsets the wrong person, there's just a balance. Right. So, and then, so what was the other thing I was going to say? Okay. So we were at my girl Kim's.
Oh yeah. Right? Kim. We love Kim.
Yes. So Birdie had his first girlfriend. So I was not going to allow him.
I'm sorry, not to interrupt, but if I was Brody's girlfriend and I saw Kim, like Kim is gorgeous.
Right.
And so fit. And she's got, and I just don't, I'd be like, can we go somewhere else? She's super intimidating. Like, she's beautiful. She's in her 50s. I don't know how she's that hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's not in her 50s yet.
Well,
she's,
in her 40s. 40, sorry.
Sorry, Kim. Fucking kill you.
I know. I didn't mean that. I was... You're my God. In her 40s.
48.
Yeah.
47, 48.
You're not supposed to tell her to say the actual number.
Well, you said 50s, for God's sake.
Sorry, Kim. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that.
She's working hard, so maybe she's not going to listen to this. But anyway.
She looks like she's fucking 30, so let's just put that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 37, and I feel like she looks like she's 25. It's stupid.
Get her out of here. Anyways.
So we were having like a family get-together at her place, and so Brody really wanted to date this girl. And so our rule was not until you're 16. Well, he was like 15 and a half, right? And so this girl really, really liked him. He really, really liked her. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me meet this girl. So she comes over. And of course, I'd had a couple of drinks before because I was nervous, right? Yeah. Like, this is my baby. I had him when I was 19. I grew up with this kid, yeah. Right? And I am very territorial.
Yeah.
Total son.
It's different.
Yes. And so Kim was trying to be like, okay, just go easy on her. Like,
don't annihilate her, Katie. Okay. But
I, you know how I am. Yeah. I am direct and I need to get things out. Yeah. So she shows up and she's like, hi. And she's just kind of mousy, right? She's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. She looks like a young Shania Twain. That's all I kept thinking. And so we get our introductions and then it's just kind of like hemming and hawing. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so let's have a little chat. So I bring her over and Kim's like, oh my God. So she's talking with Eric and they're watching us and I'm having a conversation just saying, okay, so here's the deal. I don't really let anybody date my son yet until he's 16, but it sounds like you guys really like each other. So I'm just going to lay some things out for you. And then Kim walks up, right? She's worried because she can see me with like, I'm doing a little bit of pointing. I don't feel like I'm doing like major pointing, but I feel like my arm's kind of up and I'm doing like
some
hand.
Bullet points to go through here.
Yes, right? Like definitely some hand gestures were happening. She's like, oh shit. So I said, so here's the deal. Rules to date my son. There's going to be no drugs, sex, or alcohol. And she's like, okay. And I said, if you have...
She's probably shitting her pants.
Yeah. I'm like, if you have any like mommy or daddy issues, that's fine, but you're not going to be working them out with my son. Yeah. And this poor girl is 16 years old, right? She's just a little bit older than Brody. And she's just like wide-eyed, like, oh my God.
I got to get out of here.
What picnic like barbecue is this? And then I was like, if you have any insecurity issues, right, you're not going to be working them out with my son. Yeah. You guys are probably not going to get married. You guys can like each other, hang out, all the things, but we're not going to be touching privates. We're not going to be like messing with each other's heads or anything like that. I go, he's going places. And I don't want you to be a dream killer. So if you're good with that, you can date my son. All, and Kim's like, oh my God, Katie, we're good. Okay, so it's so nice meeting you. We're going to go grab some burgers. Have a good time. Right? So that was my first like interaction with this possible girlfriend. And they did end up dating and, you know, for a couple of months. And obviously it fizzled out like they always do when you're young. But... God, it just, I hate the idea of like somebody else messing with your child's heart or whatever. So yes, I'm a little bit overbearing. Okay. But my kids know that's who I am. Yeah. Like I'm going to embarrass you. Mm-hmm. It's just how it is. They know I'm going to say whatever I feel in front of their friends and their friends know it, but then their friends feel like they can say whatever they want in front of me. Right. So that's good too.
Right. Right.
Right.
And you'd rather have like transparency with them.
Yeah. Expectations.
And, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Touch my son and I will cut you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it. Go have fun.
Yeah.
Go enjoy
each
other.
So everybody have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go
we're
get
here,
a burger.
We're just here for a good time, right? Yeah. Not a long time.
Yeah. For sure.
Go get that burger.
Yeah. And here's your bumper sticker.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it's hard raising kids. Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, whether you have two or you've got that litter of 5 to 7, it's hard.
Yeah. And you grew up on what did you say? It was a farm?
A little hobby farm.
What the hell is a hobby farm?
A hobby farm is where you're not making money off of that farm.
Yeah,
just hobby animals. You like that animal and we're just going to feed it.
What kind of animals did you have then?
So we had horses.
How many?
Hunting dogs. We had like 3 horses.
Oh, because your mom loves horses, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it started off, I wanted a horse when we first got this place. I wanted a horse so bad. And my dad was like, okay, here's the deal. And I used to send like little sticky notes all over his office, all over the house. Like, did we get the farm yet? Or are we getting the farm? Blah, 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 blah. And then it was, I really want a horse. I wanted a white horse named Moonlight. You know, I'm like 5th grade, right?
Hey, you're specific.
Very specific.
Yeah.
And so my dad finally gave in and he goes, okay, here's the deal. And of course we ended up getting the farm. And he goes, here's the deal. If you can take care of a pony, I will get you a horse. So of course we got a Shetland pony and I just took care of that thing. Like I rubbed it down with baby wipes. I braided the hair. I would have slept in the barn, right, if they let me. Yeah. And then so I was allowed to get a horse. And so as soon as we got a horse, I was like so over it.
Really?
It's terrible. I mean, I was playing soccer all the freaking time. Yeah. All of a sudden I'm into boys and friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to be into the horse world, right? It was cool to have one, yeah, but I wasn't like super invested. But then my mom took over. She always had a thing with horses. And so, you know, she got another one and then another one. And she started, you know, being like the horsewoman and doing reining and all that stuff and rodeos and all the things. Hunting dogs. We had Best Bitch of Seattle and Best Bitch of Oregon. Fancy.
Wow. Okay. How the hell do you get that?
I don't know.
I'm sure that's going to offend breeder. Someone somewhere.
Yes. We got 5 minutes left. Shit. We didn't even talk. Oh my God. We didn't even talk about all the massage things. Shit. What do we do? Do we have more time? We can't have more time. Travis. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Travis, you give us more time. You'll tell me I got 5 more minutes to talk about my business. Okay. So, so we had that and we had potbelly pigs.
Oh.
We had sheep and we had bunnies. So, yeah. So I grew up on that. And then like I just everything happened so quick growing up. Like, I feel like I didn't get my 20s. I didn't get to go out and like party, you know, the way that you do when you go off to college and all the things.
I did enough of that for you.
Yeah. Earlier. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how we balance each other out.
Yeah.
Like I had my AA at 18. I got knocked up at 19. Isn't that just like the most prideful thing you can do for your family?
Yeah, but you're successful and you're good. You're an amazing mom.
I mean, it worked out okay.
Right. But, and I think like everything kind of goes in line with the way that it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. But could you imagine if your kid at 19?
No, I would probably lose my shit. But at the same time, I'd be like, okay, you know, there's a portion of me that's like kind of spiritual and trying to be grounded and like
everything happens for
things.
A reason. And it totally does. I mean, he saved me. You know, he was the best thing that ever happened to me. And obviously he's a great kid. Yeah. So it all worked out.
Yeah.
It's
just hard to wrap around like when you're in that moment.
Oh yeah. And all of a sudden, and it doesn't even work out with the baby daddy. Right. Yeah. So you've got your youngest and she's raising a baby at 19 and working and there's, you know, it was hard. I met my husband at 21 at a dive bar. We need to talk about how you met your husband too.
I think that's a whole other segment. That's a long story. Yeah.
Yeah. I love your story. I think you should tell
me. I mean,
we
should bring him on and he could say his side of the story too.
I know. Maybe we should have like a hubby night or something.
We could do that.
Yeah.
I think that would be to hear their side of the story.
Yeah. Well, I don't like my husband's side of the story because he's like, oh, she hit on me. I'm like, that's bullshit. That's not
Alan
how
will
happen.
Say the same thing. Alan will say, oh, she chased me. I'm like, okay, right. Ask everybody around us. Mm-hmm. Not the truth.
Yeah, not how that happened.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know. Should we just end it here?
No, because we have time. He's not cutting us off.
Hold on.
We're live right now.
It's almost 7, right?
Is it really 7?
It's 6:40.
Shit. How do we go back to where we started our thing?
They'll cut this part out, right?
Okay. Still. Okay.
So we could just say, lead into our
husband. I got this. Okay. So after, meeting him, God, everything was just like a struggle after that, because when you have kids, when you're young, everything just moved so fast. Like, we met at 21, bought a place at 23. I had got married at 23, had another baby at 24. It was just, you're going. And then you're both working so much, right? Like, the struggle is real when you're young and you're trying to keep up with anybody you're even remotely living next to, and your kids, are growing up with other parents that are like 20 years older than you are.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we were working 2 to 3 jobs. It's been an insane ride. I mean, obviously it all worked out, but it's hard. I mean, we all struggle, right, to just do the best we can for our kids, but I wouldn't change it for anything.
I mean, I feel like we kind of have, I don't know, we had similar story in the beginning. Like, it was challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, there were moments where I'm like, I don't even know how we're going to make a mortgage payment or a car payment or.
And you met Alan. So here's the thing is, you met Alan and he had, or you met Alan before, right? But when you guys grew up, and we'll totally talk about that. But when you guys got together, he had had a child.
Yeah.
And so when I met Eric, I had had a child.
Yeah.
Right. And so you don't get the ability to date like normal people do because it's either like shit or get off the pot. Yeah. Right. Because what we're dealing with right now is serious, and we're not just going to play around with emotions.
Right.
Like, this is either going to work out or it's not.
Right.
Right. And you're paying bills, and it's real life. Like, it's go time.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. You just have to be an adult at that point. Even if like
you're not ready.
Right. And I didn't have a kid, but when we actually started dating back after, it's just a long story, but when we actually started dating right before we got married, I think I was at the point in my life where I was ready to settle down.
Yeah.
But I think it's also different for like a female meeting a man that has a child, because it's more maternal instincts versus a male meeting a woman who has a child.
You're like, it is a package deal.
Right.
And if my kid doesn't like you, then that's not going to work.
Yeah. But Eric's such a good dad. So.
He is a good guy.
Yeah.
He adopted him right after we got married. I mean, we had to go through the gamut to get that to happen. But it was like the best thing that could happen to our family is, him making it official and adopting him. And, we celebrated Adoption Day. Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. So when you explain it to, at that time he was 4, we met when Birdie was like 1 year and 4 months. We had a big celebration, and it was, okay, we're having this big party because now everybody in the world knows that you chose him to be your daddy and he chose you to be his son. And not everybody gets that, right? Like, a lot of people just are born into a family, but the fact that he chose you, and you chose him, that's a big deal. And the vast majority, I don't know if I can say the vast majority, there is just a huge chunk of people who are blended families. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's beautiful to be able to choose your family, even with friends, right? I mean, we have friends that are closer than our own, like, blood related family. Yeah. And we have friends that we say, this is auntie or this is uncle, and they're just the family that you choose. And I think that that's just so, so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that all the time.
Yeah.
Some of the family, you're like, shit.
Yeah. That reminds me of my ex-best friend. We can have a whole conversation about that one.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But maybe we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah. Politics can sever so many things.
Yeah.
So many things.
Okay. Well, we could do that next time. And we'll talk about, Alan.
Should we have the husbands on next time? We're going out to dinner after this.
Let's talk to him about it.
Yeah. Let's get their
perspective. Well, Alan, when you meet my husband, he's like, divorce. He sounds so good. Like, he'd be such a good voiceover.
He would have a good voice on here. Yeah.
He's like, well, babe, until you get me on there, I don't really care about the podcast.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, shit. Get out of here. Yeah.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah. You just want to hear yourself talk. Stop. I can't.
I just love how he talks about you. Yeah. I mean, there's so much love there. So I think it's good. I want people to hear that too.
Yeah. We'll tell our story.
More to share.
It's good. I think we have two totally different sides of the story.
I've heard obviously at least one better. Side. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we will share that next time.
Okay. Well, if you liked what you heard, then follow us on Facebook and
Janessa. Or Instagram.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We don't have a Facebook. Shit. We don't. Why? That's just a normal thing to say, is like, follow us on Facebook or Instagram.
We're on Instagram. Follow us, like us, leave a comment. Let us know what you want to hear more of. Same thing, Apple, Spotify, like us, leave us a review.
Yeah.
Give us 4 stars, not all 3 or 2.
Things.
Just 4.
Just 4. Why even throw 5? Is there not 5 or 4 stars? Travis, is there 5 stars?
See, we need the young blood in here. He's like, hey, 5, not 4, ladies.
It's 5 stars.
He's like, hey, isn't it like elderly time for dinner, like the senior dinner time? I think you guys need to go to dinner.
If you want to put 4 stars or less, then just keep that to yourself. Yeah. Right? Okay, so I will talk more about how we met. I need to talk about some of the weird other things with the massage. We just didn't get to it. We just kind of go on our own little tangent. Yeah. It should be like that, though.
Yeah.
Because we don't put a script together. We're like, yeah, we should maybe talk about this. But we talked about Mormons for a while.
Yeah. We need to get a Mormon in here. We'll get a Mormon in here.
Yeah.
An ex-Mormon. And the hubbies.
And the hubbies.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all in the same realm.
Yeah. No, we'll do totally different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe next time we'll just talk about our stories.
Yeah.
Our love stories.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Love stories. Okay. Bye, guys. Have a good evening.
Bye. This podcast is brought to you by Make Waves Media House. Make Waves Media House is a full-service video production company based out of Spokane, Washington, but does work all over the U.S., specializing in music, video production, editing, director of photography services, motion graphics, and commercial work. With 20 years of experience behind the camera and celebrating 7 years of business, Make Waves is here to create your high-quality videos at affordable prices. You can find them on Facebook now at Make Waves Media House, on Instagram at make.waves.mh, or call them now at 509-991-3000.
Welcome to Treasure Valley and Boise, the City of Trees. As one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation, finding the right home is only as important as finding the right realtor. And who better in the Treasure Valley than Regina Collins? Licensed in both Idaho and California and self-employed since 1999, Regina Collins prides herself on a strong business and marketing background. With years of experience owning and operating full-staff business, Regina Collins is ready to work for you. Specializing in relocation, veterans and military families, listing buyers, commercial, new homes, contingencies, and solar, Regina Collins is able to offer the whole package for her buyers. Whether you're new to Boise, want a better lifestyle for you and your family, or just want to get to know this area better, Regina Collins is honored to help you with this process. For more, visit reginaforhomes.com. Soul Ease and Personal Spa and Lifestyle Boutique. At Soul Ease, you'll enter into a relaxing environment. You can rest in mind, body, and soul with a day spa experience. Discover world-class skincare treatments using French and Hungarian techniques, organic and natural skincare, along with modern technologies. Whether you're visiting us for one session or multiple times, here will be a personal spa experience to relax and recharge your soul. Soul Ease is conveniently located near downtown Boise in North End on North 28th Street, across the street from Lowell Elementary School. Follow them on Instagram at Soul_Ease_Boise and Facebook at Soul Ease. Check out their website at soul-ease.com or call 208-994-1000. 1480 to reserve your next appointment.
PAC Financial. Attention Idaho and California residents. If you're shopping for a mortgage, contact PacFi, a mortgage broker with top wholesale lenders in the nation. They are committed to simplifying the mortgage process, saving you time and money. Call 858-422-7048 or visit pacfi.com. NMLS number 1462943. Equal housing lender. Do you PacFi?
All right, time's up, people. Hope you enjoyed yourselves as much as we did.
Yeah, and come find us on social media, on Instagram, Say What Podcast 2021. Give us a follow. If you have questions or topics you want us to cover, you can slide that right into our DM.
Slide it in like butter, baby.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review.
Cheers.